So I guess we'll be taking questions this way.
Maybe I could ask Noam a question. Was there not too many mistakes in how I...
Oh, yes, yes.
Was there not too many mistakes in the way I put things together?
When I watch myself, which I rarely do, all I see is my mistakes. Yeah, sorry.
Professor Chomsky, at one point towards the beginning of the interview, you said something like, there's good reason why the world should be simple. I wondered if you could elaborate on what you meant by that and why you believe that to be true.
I'm going to need a translator because I can't hear.
He was asking why, at the beginning of the documentary, you said, why would the world have be simple?
Why would it have to be simple? That's a good question. I think it's part of our... It's not a metaphysical fact. You know, it's not a fact that comes from nature. I think it comes from our minds. We want to interpret things as simple. We want to... that's the basic guideline of science. If you find something complex and messy, what you do is try to see what you're misunderstanding and what are the deeper principles that make it really simple. Why do we do that? You're MIT students. You wouldn't be here if we weren't doing that. In fact, there'd be nothing to do. When you just look at the world, it's a hopelessly complex mess. So, okay, let's just describe all the data, period. But science or any kind of inquiry is the attempt to try to show that the superficial complexity is really missing something deep. The search for simplicity is basically no different from the search for explanatory theory. It's essentially the same search. If you want to try to explain, you're going to try to show why things are simple. Actually, those of you who have a background in modern philosophy will recognize that people like Nelson Goodman, for example, discussed this at great length. But it simply is it's just the intuition that makes inquiry worth pursuing. If you can't find some things that are simple, you should go do something else.
It's interesting, this question, because it was the first question I wanted to ask you when I put the film together. It's like, why nature is simple? But I was trying to find an answer, and I know, like, each time I find an answer, that it's very naive. And you probably... you will brush it away. But is it simple because the same principle act the same way everywhere? You talk about science inquiry, and which I understand, but like the fact that nature is simple, is that the reason why nature is simple? It's because it's basically the same blocks everywhere?
First, there's many questions to ask about this. For example, what is simple? What is simple for us would not be simple for a differently constituted intelligence. For example, regard... So suppose, take something. Say at the time when elementary particles were being discussed, say suppose you found 7 quarks, it was just intuitively obvious that's not going to be right. There's got to be 8 because that's 2 cubed, and 2 and 3 are real numbers. 7 isn't, but you can which turned out to be true. But you could have a differently constituted intelligence, which is, well, 7's the mystic number, so if something is 7, then it's perfect. That's not the way we work. There is an old question of physicists, of mathematicians have worried about for years. Why does mathematics work in the study of nature? Why is nature so constituted that when you seek simple mathematical explanations, turns out they work? If any of you can figure out an answer to that, it's fine. But the only answer I know of is insofar as it's not true, if there's a domain in which it's not true, we're just not going to have scientific knowledge and explanation. We have scientific knowledge and explanation. And incidentally, I don't mean just physics, even ordinary life. Only if we can find explanations that are simple by our standards, our built-in standards, then you have explanations. If you don't have them, you search further. A different organism might do it in a different way. There are parts of nature which are probably beyond our comprehension. In fact, it's almost certainly true. I think it was mentioned in Michel's film, if we are organic creatures, if we're not angels, then we're going to be like other organic creatures. We'll have a cognitive capacities which have certain scope and have certain limits, just as the genetic constitution that gives rise to our visible body allows certain possibilities and not others. We can have 2 arms, an infant can't have 13 arms. It can't have 2 arms and 3 fins, let's say. We can walk, but we can't fly. It's fortunate that and these are because of built-in limits to our biological nature. And that's nothing to be upset about. In fact, if we didn't have built-in limits, we would have no scope at all. If you invented some kind of a organism with no built-in limits at all, and you just allowed it to, say, give it nutrition, allow it to expand and grow, it would turn into some amoeboid creature, or each one totally different from the next, and no capacities and no structure. So there's a kind of a logical connection between having limits and having scope, which does raise questions. For example, it's very commonly believed among a common belief among scientists and many philosophers these days, you read it all the time, is that human intelligence basically can discover anything. Important book by David Deutsch about this recently. That's a standard view. There's no limit to what human intelligence can understand. On the other hand, if you go back to the classics, people like, say, Newton, Hume, Locke, not inconsiderable figures, they had a very different view. Their view, David Hume summarized it very nicely in his History of England, where he was a historian as well, philosopher, but had a chapter on Newton, of course. This is shortly after Newton, and he described Newton as the greatest genius that the human race has ever produced. And he said his great achievement was to unveil some of the mysteries of nature, but to demonstrate that others would be hidden from us forever. He had in mind exactly what Locke had in mind, or Leibniz and Huygens when they dismissed Newton's discoveries. The idea that there are occult forces, you know, forces that cannot be accounted for in terms of, in direct mechanical terms. Mechanical meant gears and levers and so on. That there are things, say, attraction and repulsion. That fact is just beyond our capacity to comprehend. As Newton said, we have to accept it as true because I got evidence for it, but it's not intelligible. Now, that sounds contradictory to what, say, Deutsch and others are saying, but it really isn't, because the concept of intelligibility has changed. In the post-Newtonian period, slowly, not instantly, but over the years, centuries, the idea that the world should be intelligible to us was just dropped. The search for scientific inquiry was guided by a weaker aim, namely that theories of the world should be intelligible to us. And that's very different. By the time you get to, pardon? I'm getting instructions from my boss, but I don't understand what they are.
Oh, Professor, do you mind?
What?
One more question.
Oh. She reminds me of my kids when they were little. When my kids would ask a question the way kids do, they'd usually tap me on the shoulder first and say, please, just the five-minute lecture. I've already given the five-minute lecture.
Yes, I noticed in the film, towards the end, there was this episode where you sort of recapped all the ideas that had been presented in the film. And I got the sense you, as the filmmaker, were sort of showing how you processed those ideas and how they came out. And I wondered, in the film, if you sort of felt a tension between presenting Professor Chomsky's ideas and presenting your understanding and your relationship with Professor Chomsky.
This was a question for me. He asked me. It's a question for me, so if I answer it, then it's hard to differentiate. So the gentleman wanted to ask if I had differentiated, basically, if I try to summarize how I separated, basically. My understanding of what you were saying and trying to illustrate what you were explaining and what and about my feeling toward my as a filmmaker or what I was trying to do in the film. Sorry, I'm messing up the question, but basically it's very intricate. I feel a little not at the right place right now. But I was not trying to demonstrate Noam Chomsky's explanation and explain them. It was more a sort of a natural reaction to what he was telling me. And so I sort of created these sort of characters in a sort of intuitive way without trying to explain, because I don't think I have the capacity to demonstrate what Professor Chomsky was explaining. But I thought my job was on his as a director to just transcribe how I feel when I conduct a conversation with such a mind, and the way I do it without too much analysis, I think could help others to engage in the reflection. But I don't think I could possibly demonstrate by in adding drawings and stuff, but I think the simple fact to do the action of drawing over Noam's voice is maybe helping maybe to reach out to other people that would not maybe be watching that.
Hi, I just wanted to thank the two of you for adding beauty to the world and decreasing suffering. In my own life, Noam, your writings have inspired me to devote the last 5 years of my life to helping a family of Iraqi refugees. And Michelle, your Around the World video is the favorite music video of the two boys, and we've actually remade it ourselves, although YouTube blocked it on copyright grounds.
Thank you.
I think that Michel Gondry in this movie pretty explicitly showed his motivation to do this movie. And I understand why the director wanted to do it. But my question is to Professor Chomsky, why did you want to do this movie?
Well, as my boss can tell you, dozens of people come by every week doing documentaries and films, and I usually try to accommodate, but sometimes something really lights a spark. It's so different and so insightful and so elegantly and beautifully done that it's just, you know, just kind of want to go on with it. And that happened in this case.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for coming and give another round of applause to Michelle Gondry and Noam.